Now we're talking to Annie Levinson Falk. She is the executive director of CUB, Citizens Utility Board in Minnesota, which speaks out for consumers of energy. Such an important role. Thank you so much for being here, Annie.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, you've been on before, so I know you know the drill, but let's talk about immediately what's in front of us. It looks like, I mean, to me, this looks like a pretty big deal. Minnesota Power may be bought out by a private company. So can you just tell us at first, just give us a little background of like, why would a utility be public? Why would it be private? What are the differences?
Sure. There's different ways that utilities are owned. Some of them are owned cooperatively, so owned by the members, by the customers of the utility. And so that's like the rural electric associations. Those are cooperatives. There are municipal utilities like Two Harbors has that's owned by the local government. And then there are investor-owned utilities like Minnesota Power or Xcel or Minnesota Energy Resources. There are a number that serve Minnesota, and those are owned by shareholders. And all of the investor-owned utilities in Minnesota and most of them in the country right now are quote-unquote, you know, public ownership, meaning it's traded in the public market. So there might be hundreds or maybe thousands of shareholders that all own it, and they're buying and selling shares all the time. That's public ownership. But now ALLETE, the parent company of Minnesota Power, has a deal to be purchased by two private institutional investors. And that would be a big change for this company.
Yeah. So do you know why they're looking to sell out?
So what they have said is that this will help them have better access to capital for all of the investments they need to make for the clean energy transition. We have some questions about that. And so there's a contested case going on in which the Citizens Utility Board and a number of other interveners are kind of saying, can you show some proof of that and show why this new deal would be a better solution for ratepayers? I mean, it's clear that it's a good deal for shareholders because the companies have offered a pretty substantial premium over the value of the company. But we have and others have some doubts that it's going to be good for Minnesotans.
Meaning it's clear that this, like if you're a share owner, you have stock in Minnesota Power, you have good reason to believe you're going to get a good return on your stock, on your investment. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So there's two buyers. One of them is called Global Infrastructure Partners, and that is wholly owned by BlackRock, which is the largest investment, asset management company in the world. They would own 60%. The other investor is the Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board. It's basically like the Canadian version of Social Security, it's been described to me. And they would own 40%. And those two buyers have agreed to pay, I believe it's $6.2 billion for ALLETE. And that's a lot more than what the experts in this case say the company is actually worth. So they're paying a premium. And all of that premium goes to the existing owners, which are the hundreds of shareholders in ALLETE right now.
Why would they want to pay over market price?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, their investors are doing this because they would expect to make that premium back plus a profit. And ALLETE, ALLETE owns a number of companies, but it's mostly the vast majority of their revenues come from regulated utilities, and most of that is Minnesota Power. So the buyers would be expecting to get back that premium plus profit, and it would be difficult, probably impossible to do that without leaning on MP ratepayers. And so I think that could very likely mean rate increases for Minnesota Power customers.
Okay. And is that pretty much the center of your concern? As the advocates for the consumer, you're saying this does not bode well for consumers.
That's a big part of it. Yeah. Is that we think it could likely lead to rate increases. Now, because Minnesota Power is regulated, any rate increases have to get approved by the Public Utilities Commission. And so, maybe the PUC does not allow them to increase rates as much as they want, but then you're still in a bad situation because then you have a utility company whose owners are unhappy to see it as like an underperforming asset because it's not delivering the returns they had anticipated. And, so then what the private equity investors do with an underperforming asset, I think they're unlikely to put money towards it to keep, reliability and customer service and all of those things. And then they might also, want to offload it, want to get it off their books and sell it. And then you could have a situation where the utility is for sale again soon. And that would be a difficult situation as well.
Because turnover is never good. And then you have a whole nother huge transition going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And even if they're happy with it, even if it delivers the profits they want, BlackRock's Global Infrastructure Partners, they typically hold an asset like this only for 5 to 7 years. So their talk about, you may hear about, you know, their long-term investors or patient capital. And what they mean by that is 5 to 7 years on average. That might be long-term in the private equity world, but it's really short-term in the utility world. And being for sale, again, that quickly would be disruptive to Minnesota Power. So that's another one of our concerns.
And then the way, I mean, they do discuss what the rates are and what they're going to be, but that's considered a company secret. Is that right? So we don't actually know what they're really planning.
Yeah. So that's a third concern we have, is that the buyers are really hiding a lot of important information from public view. Private companies, because they're not traded on the public market, they have a lot fewer reporting requirements. So Elite right now has to submit all kinds of information to the Securities and Exchange Commission. They have to present stuff to investors, and we and others use that to get a view on the financial health of the company, the risk it's facing, and none of that would be available. On top of that, they have marked things like their projected rate increases and a lot of information in this docket. They've marked that as trade secret, and it's only viewable to formal interveners under a non-disclosure agreement. And then beyond that, they've even hidden some information from intervening parties and the judge that's overseeing it, claiming privilege without going through the appropriate legal procedures to actually do that. So there's a lot of information that's being redacted in one way or another. Some of that has been challenged. The judge actually ordered the companies to share some of that information, and there's other challenges pending, but it just kind of doesn't set a good tone about how transparent and how cooperative these companies are going to be, especially if they're acting this way now when they, you know, it's in their interest to look cooperative and to kind of win the trust of the stakeholders in the state of Minnesota. It just doesn't bode well for how they might act in the future if this deal were to be approved.
And so what can be done? I know that it's now that there really is actually is something that citizens and especially consumers of Minnesota Power Energy can do.
Yeah, well, if you are concerned, either maybe you're a direct ratepayer of Minnesota Power, or if you live in Two Harbors, you know, Two Harbors gets its power from Minnesota Power, or you frequent the businesses in Two Harbors or Duluth. If you stand to be affected by this, it's a great time to let the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission know your concerns. Public comments are really important in cases like this, and now is the time to get them in. So you can either file a written comment between now and April 17th, or do a comment at an in-person hearing or a virtual hearing that will be held the week of April 7th. All the information about those is on the Citizens Utility Board website, cubminnesota.org.
I love that your website is so easy. cubminnesota.org, right?
That's it. Yep.
All right. And then I just have a few more questions since we have time. I'm speaking with Annie Levinson-Falk. She is the executive director of CUB. So Minnesota Power and all utilities are clearly going through, you know, a pretty major transition right now with renewable energy and the grid, so many things that were seemingly pretty just sort of set in stone for years and years. And now they're, thankfully, it's all changing. You know, what about their argument that, you know, this allows us to make the transition better? You were saying you were asking them for evidence of that, but, you know, what kinds of things are they potentially thinking they can do? Is it that they have more freedom in the corporate world, or what is it? Do you know what they're getting at there?
Yeah. So some of that, I mean, those are the exact arguments that are kind of going back and forth in the case right now. So it's kind of a developing thing. But some of the things that they're saying are that it will be difficult for a company the size of Elite Minnesota Power to access enough capital to do their plans. They have pretty, big investment plans for good reason.
Yeah.
And they say that having just two private owners who are willing to provide this capital will be easier for them. And so we want to see some evidence of that. And also another concern we have is that I'm not sure that they can make any enforceable commitments to provide that capital. So while the companies are saying that they will make that capital available, you know, it is somewhat concerning from a ratepayer side that if, you know, at what cost, you know, what what profit margin are they expecting to get from that? And if they're not happy with their return on their investment, can we be sure that they would still provide that capital? And if so, how? I think those are all open questions right now, and we are not at all convinced that their answers are sufficient from a ratepayer side.
And you've done this for a long time, Annie, and I just am curious, do you think utilities just are inherently a public entity? Like any private, I mean, it's sort of like medical care or school or something. Like, is it, if the purpose is not explicitly to provide the shareholders with the highest profit, but you're supposed to be doing a public service, is it better it being in the public sphere just automatically?
Yeah, so like having a government-operated utility, for example.
Yeah, or just, you know, what's the proper infrastructure for utilities?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting academic debate. I'm not sure there is one right answer. I think, you know, it can work very well to have an investor-owned utility. You do always have this inherent push and pull between the ratepayer interest and the shareholder interest, and that's why you need a strong regulator, a strong public utilities commission to oversee that and make sure that you're balancing the public interest with the shareholders, you know, interest in making a reasonable profit. And we always have arguments about what is reasonable. And I think that that's healthy. I think it can be done well, but you really do need a regulator who has a sharp eye out for the residents and the public interest.
And you've done this also with the PUC before. Do you have any sense of, like, what's CUB's relationship with the PUC?
Yeah, CUB intervenes in PUC proceedings all the time. We're very active there and well-known as a kind of a watchdog for the ratepayers.
Yeah. And so they know you.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, you are the sort of more pure advocate for the consumer, which is what they need to be, but they're clearly balancing a lot of public and political things. I don't know. It seems like, aren't you what they are supposed to be?
Well, I mean,
if that's too hard a question to ask or apolitical, you don't have to answer it.
It is the commission's job to balance all of the interests before them.
Okay.
And to do that, they are legally required to only act on what's in the formal record before them. And so it's up to people like the Citizens Utility Board and also the public to be putting comments. That's why these public comments are so important, is they need to hear on the record how people feel about this so that they can make a good decision.
Yeah. And I got one more question. I know we're running out of time, but given that Minnesota Power's customers are so heavily weighted toward industrial, like, I just know up here, you know, most of what Minnesota Power does is with big industry. Do personal, non-commercial comments make a difference?
Absolutely, they do. I will note that even the large industry is opposed to this deal, but I have seen in Minnesota Power proceedings, I've seen the commissioners actually print out public comments and read them off one by one in the hearing. So they can really make a big difference. And it also gives parties like CUB something that we can cite and bring more attention to it in our own legal briefs. So I really strongly encourage folks to submit comments.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Annie. Once again, this has been a very informative 15 minutes. And I hope we will just continue to have you on as a regular so that we know how to advocate for ourselves and our energy. So thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me. I look forward to coming back.
All right. Wonderful. Bye-bye. That was Annie Levinston-Fox, CEO of the Citizens Utility Board.